It's so good to be among you, you dear, dear people of God. Glad you could come out tonight. I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, just stirs your soul to accomplish whatever it is he wants to accomplish tonight. Bear with me one sec. Holy Spirit, you are here, and these are your dearly loved children. I thank you, you want intimacy with them, that you put honor on them, that this has been accomplished. Press them on to see you clearer and clearer in Jesus' name. Amen. This picture is our family, so you can see that we actually were just not lying about it. We actually do have kids. We have four originals, and they have all added to it another one. So we have four children-in-laws and three grandchildren as well. And they are just a delight and blessing to me very much, and David as well. Now I'm going to go on to what I was asked to talk on. David offered it up because this is a theme I'm learning in my life about pressing into the humbling. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We're in this part of our lives where humbling is going to occur. We have been accomplished in our lives. We have accomplished great things. We have gotten wise with experience, and we have a lot to offer. And we start to crumble. I think about, this became a theme when I thought about my father-in-law. He was very accomplished, very wise, very kind. He's an incredible man. And as he got older, his pace became smaller. And a little bit of this, eating became harder without choking. And through it all, he was gracious and glorifying God in all things. When he ended up becoming bedridden, he said, "Getting older is not for wimps." But I began to watch as people age, and I began to ponder, and I had a conversation with God about this very thing, that these guys are wise, experienced. They have so much to offer. God, you're a God who's careful with design. Look how you designed the universe. Everything was done with intent. Even down to chemical reactions, everything was on purpose. Why? Why did you design this to happen? When we have learned more and grown more and become better, why do we fall apart? Why do we begin to lose people we loved? What's going on? I pose that question to God. Our bodies fail. Our souls and spirit continue to grow. This is prepping us for eternity because he does have a purpose. This body will crumble and fade, but our new bodies in heaven are being prepped. And this is muscle building time, guys. This is muscle building as we press into the humbling and we accept that God has a plan and a purpose. Just like when Job was sitting there and suddenly his family died off and he lost his possessions, and thing after thing happened to him. And it was through Satan's looking at his life saying, "I want to tempt that guy. I want to try him." What was he trying on? Job's wife said it when she said, "Curse God and die." This is a trial. Will you trust that God is still good when everything falls apart and goes wrong? God doesn't change. There is no evil. There is no turning of shadow in him. He is a good God. He will always be good. There is purpose. He can take the horrible things in our life and flip them for good. We're going to trust God is good. And we win the victory. Yeah. We learn from Jesus everything, the author and perfecter of our faith, right? He was God. There at the beginning, the Word became flesh. And when he became flesh, what did he look like? Pink and squishy? Flailed his arms, didn't know how to use them? He had to learn how to talk, learn how to walk. He was under a mother was really young. Everybody questioned his birth. It looked sketchy. He was born in a very humble place, and yet he was God. And he is our example, and we're to walk like him. Humbling is good. When he died, his death on the cross was not a beautiful thing. Whipped, beaten, tortured. He could barely make it there. He wanted to give up, but he didn't. There he stood, naked, taking our shame. As we're humbled, we feel ashamed. He took that for you. No shame in your humbling, guys. You look to Jesus and you say, complete it, Lord. Get me ready. My muscle for eternity has to last forever. And I want to bring glory to your name and forget about my name. I want to take all my accomplishments that I wear as a crown. I want to take everything that I have and I want to put it at your feet and say, you did it all anyway. You're the one who gets the glory. That's the point of humbling, guys. We get to take everything that God did and gave to us and we get to give it back to him because we love him. He wants intimacy with you. He will complete the work. He will hold you. He will sustain you. Matthew 18:4 says, whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, you who are being humbled, what does that say about you? What will you become in heaven? He humbles us to lift us up. It's not fun to be humbled. It's aggravating at times. But in Hebrews 1 and 2, we look to Jesus who despised the shame. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author, the founder, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, eternal life, endured the cross so we could be there. He despised the shame, fully embraced it. And now, where is he? Seated at the right hand of God. Is there a higher place for one who humbled himself? No. He did it best. And we're going to do it too, guys. We're all going to do it. Let's just go press into it. Accept it. And say, God, I stumbled and I fell. And I don't know why I'm falling. I'm trippy now. But you will receive glory. But it is your name that I'm lifting up. And it is your name that I want glorified. So don't give up. Accept this humbling and fix your eyes on him and keep that intimacy with him alive. He will whisper to you, you're not done yet because you're still here. He's still got purposes to do in you. The refining is almost there. We're near the completion. We want Jesus to win. Don't listen to the tempter. Don't listen to him. In Philippians, we learn about serving others as one of the humble things we can do. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. If you don't have it now, you can get it right there. Who, though he was in the form of God, count equality with God something to hang on to, but emptied himself and he took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Obedience when you know the God who is bigger than anything you can imagine, better than you can imagine. You don't have to use the word obey. It becomes, I trust you fully. Let's press into that. Press into the humbling. Press into trusting him fully, knowing him deeply, because eternal life exists in this knowing God. That word knowing is that word for intimacy, knowing God. The humbling, it's quite a test. So, putting some feet on it, Janet prayed this right here. She was praying about being a dumpster dive, and that is me. I did not come from a pedigree of wonderful Christian heritage, but God still chose me. And it makes no sense. I am no one. And I haven't even got that many skills. But I have this amazing God who has decided to call me his. And my life is purely in gratitude to that. So David and I both were passionate about telling other people about Jesus Christ because I wanted it. And I didn't have someone share with me. I know there are hungry people all over. We wanted to go where no one had gone. And so we began to apply for missions. And there are these little hoops you need to go through and, go through this one and then this one and different tiers. We got to the near end and we are on the one called language aptitude test. This is one where they find out your language abilities. And according to your kind of combined score, they figure out what country you could probably do. So those people who took this test, they get this 90, those A grade people, those straight A people, they get the toughest languages in the world. They can go anywhere. They're unlimited. You get your B ranges, your 80s. These guys are really good. They can go pretty much anywhere and they'll be able to do it. They are unlimited also. You get your C group. These guys are okay. They'll probably go to a language that, they're a little bit easier to learn. That's kind of how they graded it. And then there was, at the time we went out, kind of a cutoff at 70. So I thought, okay, well, can do this. We take this test and it was amazing. And then we were told to wait for our results. So we did. We waited and we're like talking about it. And it was so exciting. And the results come to us in envelopes and they hand it to us. David rips this open. He's like fast and he says, psh, psh, psh. 85. And I'm like, yes, honey, we get to go to a hard place. We want to go where it's going to count. If we're going to give our lives for this, it's got to count. So I was like, oh, all excited. And then I grabbed my envelope and I opened it up. I can't wait to find out what we got together as combined score. I'm not even half of an F, you guys. Not even. But right away, my first inclination was, so? If God has called me to be a missionary, and he goes in advance to prepare everything for us to do, nothing's going to stop me. He knows every language in the world. I have his Holy Spirit. He can do it. And with that very thought, God popped into my head, Balaam's donkey spoke. Yes, I get it, God. I'm the donkey. Oh, man, I'm better than a donkey. My tongue's not so thick. If you did it for a donkey, you can do it for me. Thank you, Jesus. And I went to Cambodia and I worked very hard. And another layer was added. While I was studying and I was looking at the Khmer script, which totally looks like someone just took a bunch of noodles and threw them on the wall and said, read it. And in addition, there's no break between words. And you can read a letter and the consonants right here in the middle. You can go down below it lower. There's a consonant and then another vowel, and there's a vowel to the right or the left or to all the way around. You read it in circles. And then I found out I'm dyslexic. But God will complete every work, even when it is impossible with man. If this is his will, if this is his way, he will do it. And he gets the glory when somebody like me can complete that. After one term, they asked me to become the language coach for the new missionaries coming out to the team. Why? Because God was in charge. He had bigger purposes. And he is not limited by our limitations that we have. He has a kingdom that works according to how he wants it to work. And he can shift mountains anytime he wants. So he gets the glory. And we get to admit, not so good, but my God's really good. Well, that's not all it. I got more stories. I've been asked to do so many different things and tasks on the field. I kind of surprised by what comes my way. But always I have learned this lesson. whoa, I'm overwhelmed. I've never done that, never studied that. How do I do that? And then I've come to know that when I stop worrying, being overwhelmed, like it's on me, I think back to my donkey story and I say, oh, God, if this is from you, do it through me. I'm here. I'm yours. I want to serve you the way you want it done. So do it through me. One of those things was I design buildings and oversee construction. Big, burly me. I go on construction crews, and I arrive on these construction crews after having drawn the plans for the building. I have no authority over them because I'm not paying them. I don't own the building. I just show up to make sure the work is done right. And I often hire a man who comes along with me on these buildings. I've been working with him for 10 years. He was really hard soil for Christ. But I'm bold, because when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you end up talking about Jesus. So I have been praying for him for about 10 years. But on this build, something happened. We came to the part where finally it was bricklaying. We work in brick and mortar, which is pillars and beams, which is where the structure gets its strength. So day one, everything was great, but I arrived day two, and I'm walking around talking, laying things out. I arrive and I see up at the top, you see some of those walls are touching where the ceiling and the beam is. This is a big problem. Those walls were more than 4 meters tall, like 13, 14 feet tall. And they needed to have a tie-in back mid-wall. We call it a mid-wall beam. Otherwise, they are not stable. Imagine stacking Legos up that high. It could topple. Why do I know this? God? Anyway, so it is an actual thing. My building plans have been stamped by the engineers in Cambodia. You cannot build a public building without having the plans go past the state engineers. And so this is not a thing. God gives you what you need. He will. Stepped into that, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't accept that. And I began to talk with them. I will find you money to put in a mid-wall beam. I know the contractor was telling you wrong information. I need to have my mid-wall beam. And I went and convinced each one person, even though I don't pay them, about we're going to pay you more to put in a mid-wall beam, stop at this height. And I went around and stopped them all. And then I was fighting for those other walls. And they said, we don't want to take them down. We finished. I went, oh, no. And then I peeked, and down at the end of that hallway, there was a man. And I had already told him, stop when you get to this height, because this wall has to have a beam right here. And I noticed, oh, wait, he's still building. I need to go down and address that. And I'm not really that strong, and, you know. So I walked down there, and I began to talk with him. And I said, I don't know if you heard me, but everybody has agreed we're putting in mid-wall beams and you will be paid more. You need to take out those last five rows. It's about a half a meter too high already. And he looked at me, mudded up another brick, defiantly plopped it on top of the wall. What are you going to do about it? And I said, oh, Jesus, this is your building. Help. And my little guy over here, who's my inspector, heard me say that. And God so graciously, on this stifling hot day without a breeze, sent a little gentle breeze across my face to let me know he was there. And he toppled the wall. That's our God, guys. That's our God. Whatever you've been given to do, whether it seems like a spiritual thing or not, God is in it. Be faithful in everything, and he will work. And so at that point, I said, I want all my mid-wall beams, and I want you to knock those down and make them stable. And everybody followed it, because God was in charge of the building, not me all along. I had one more humbling. Just this past year, I mean, I've had a lot of humblings. I admit to my weaknesses in that song we just sang, you know, let the weak say I'm strong. Yeah, there's a reason behind that. There's some truth in it. Depending on God is good. So I run a guest house as well. It's extremely busy. And Anyway, so I had this little echo of time where we needed to get in and clean the tiles, and I brought them some new tools to do it, and we were going to throw water on the tiles and do it. I had one day to work that week, and then I would have only one day to come into work the next week, so I had to get a lot done. And I'm running here and there and running here and there. There's wet water on the floor. Allison and I slipped. Both my legs went up in the air, and I broke my arm. And my staff came, and in Cambodia, it's really sweet. They don't know what to do when you're in pain, so they start massaging you, and they're all trying to take care of me. And anyway, because of this incident, I had to go have surgery because it was really a bad break, and they had to put in a pin. But in Cambodia, when you get a surgery, you have to have someone give blood. They have to give your blood and your blood type. And so David just sent out a quick, hey, can anybody give blood? Well, that last building that I built, that was the director of that school. That building was all about a Bible school where we're training people to go out and live differently for Christ, to live this radical life that you actually believe what's written in the Bible and then you do it and you don't worry about some things. So anyways, the head couple there was having their anniversary. They're both O positive. And they said, we'll go. And they went right away. So I was able to do the surgery right away because of this dear couple gave their blood for me. I didn't know when I was building that building that's what's going to go on, but there they are. They gave their blood for me, and I got the surgery. I got the help I needed. And the other portion to that was I had been saying, oh, God, please clear my plate. I'm so busy. There's too many plates I'm juggling and too much to do this week. Can't you just clear some time? I miss intimacy time with you. I talk to you all day long, but I just want that extended time. Okay, sweetie, you got it. Thank you, Jesus. You can find him in hard circumstances. The humbling is deciding that no matter what happens to me in my life, I choose to decide that God is right and good, and he will turn any awful circumstance and use it to perfect me and to give me perspective from heaven rather than from earth. Yeah, as we age, we begin to prepare to leave behind the good and get ready for the perfect. God is the only one who's perfect, and we get to be with him. We need to shape and refine, and we're in the end fires. We need to keep it burning. Light that torch in other people as we wait for our bridegroom to come. All you men are brides, just so you know. You're brides. That's another humbling step for you, I know. Accept it. What it means is God wants to be intimate with you. He knows you intimately. He wants you to know him intimately as well. Press into that. He's not done. He's there. He's not left you. He will never leave you. You don't have to turn your back on him. He is fully good. These are his refining fires, and the process hurts. These spiritual muscles of trusting him have to last forever, guys. Get them strong. Get them strong to last throughout eternity. Romans 16:27. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're on the cheering crowd because we know the only one who's perfect. And he's chosen you. Accept your humbling. Say, Jesus, if you can do it, show me how. And he will grant that. When he becomes the delight of your soul, he says he will give you more of himself. You know what verse I'm referring to? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Because that desire is him. He'll give you more of him. Press into your humbling. Don't avoid it. See what he's got for you in there. It's good. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Chris. It's a hard act to follow. I'd like to actually, this is a generous church. You have a tradition of being generous to missions. And so I'd like to return the favor in a small way. And I've asked Janet, and maybe some others can help her. I would like to give you some Cambodian money tonight. The Cambodian money is called the riel. It's spelled R-I-E-L. But you can really call it, it's real money. And we're not going to give you, I'm not going to give you a 20. I'm not going to give you a 50. I'm going to give you 100 riel tonight, but on one condition. And that's that maybe you put this somewhere and remember to pray for Cambodia. And so just as a small token of our appreciation for this church that has been so generous for so many decades of the work of the Great Commission, please receive 100 riel and don't ask me how much it's worth. One other real quick thing. This past year for the 100th anniversary, I was an editor for a book on the 100th anniversary of the Alliance Mission work in Cambodia. Marlene Westergren, who's a part of this, actually had a small part to play in the book as well, and many others. And I've just given a copy to Pastor Andy that I guess will be in the church library. It's called He is Building His Church, 100 Years of CMA Mission Work in Cambodia. If any of you would like to hear some more stories, because it's really a book of stories of amazing things that God has done over 100 years to build His church. And again, to Him be the glory. As we come into kind of and you've talked about Cambodia, and just a reminder, as you know, it's Southeast Asia. It's a little larger than the state of Florida. It's not a big country. About 17 million people. Most people come from a Buddhist background, but it's mixed together with animism. And there are actually 44 different ethnic groups in Cambodia, different languages, different cultures. And so the call in Revelation 7:9 to have all the nations, all the languages, all the tongues in heaven is a call actually to reach all of those ethnic groups as well. And as this is our Alliance missionary team, about 50 adults, if they're all counted. Now, about half of those are officially with the Alliance. About half are from like-minded other mission agencies like Wycliffe Bible Translators. And some are from New Tribes Missions that come under the Alliance because that gives them legal permission. But we really work together as one team. I would say we really are an alliance in Cambodia, which has been great fun to work with different people like that as well. We partner very closely with what's called the Khmer Evangelical Church, which is the name of the Alliance in Cambodia. So they're our close partners in ministry. And as I think about the work in Cambodia, I'm reminded of from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1:5, where the prophet says, where the Lord says to the prophet, actually, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Now that's the NIV. I'm going to do something you shouldn't do. I'm going to, first of all, you know, the church in Cambodia went from about 20,000 believers in 1995 to about 300,000 today. So it's been this amazing season of growth of what God is doing, amazing things. And 300,000 is a lot of growth, but it still represents a little less than 2% of the Cambodian population. So there really is a lot of work that still needs to be done in Cambodia. But as we think of this text, Habakkuk 1:5, I'm going to do something you shouldn't do, which is to change the Word of God to the Dave Manfred version, the DMV, and say, look at Cambodia and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm doing going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you're told. And this evening, I'd like to just close with four stories of what the Lord has done in Cambodia in recent years. You remember hearing this morning about Bible translation, Arthur Hammond translating the Bible into the Khmer language. But we currently, about a fourth of our missionaries are directly involved in Bible translation ministries in the different languages in Cambodia. This was in 2016. It was the dedication of the Bunong New Testament. You heard about the Bunong this morning. Well, in 2016, the Bunong New Testament was dedicated. How exciting for people to have the Word of God in their own language. And then in 2019, this was the Gui New Testament, another ethnic group in Cambodia. There's a unique dialect. The Gui are also in Thailand, but there's a different dialect, a significantly different dialect in Cambodia. And so they also received the Word of God in their own language. We have ongoing translation work in the Tempuan language and in the Jarai language. And one that was really exciting for us was that there is an ethnic group called the Jam that you'll hear about in a few moments. And the Jam New Testament was just completed less than 2 years ago. And we'll talk more about why that was significant in a few moments. So a second story I want to talk about is also about impacting the Cambodian government. This is the Prime Minister. You heard a bit about him. He was at the opening ceremony of the 100-year celebration. His name is Hun Sen. And his autobiography is subtitled Strong Man of Cambodia. And that is truly how he likes to liken himself, as a strong man. He has been a strong leader, to say the least. He has brought stability to Cambodia, for which we are thankful. But yet, in the midst of that, there's a lot of darkness in the Cambodian government. There's considered to be one of the most corrupt countries, actually, in the world. It's 160 out of 180 in terms of being the most, I guess, least corrupt. So they're 160 out of 180, so that's not good. It's also had the main opposition party leader arrested and outlawed his party. So although it has the name of a democracy, in reality, it's not very democratic. Most high government leaders have never clearly heard about the gospel of Christ and are very much, in many ways, unreached with the gospel. Well, on our Alliance Missions team, we have an amazing couple. They are this couple right here. Their name is Ernest and Yvonne Ung. Ernest will actually be speaking at council here next week. And his story is quite unique. He came to Christ in the refugee camps in Thailand, came to the United States after he'd come to Christ, ended up going to Nyack University, and became a pastor of a Cambodian church in the Bronx, New York. And as he was serving in that Cambodian church in New York City, he began to make friends with some of the Cambodian diplomats who were at the United Nations. And he'd kind of like help him to maybe find an apartment to rent in New York. He showed him where all the good Cambodian grocery stores and restaurants are in the city. And he just kind of befriended these diplomats. And he'd had, growing up before he came to Christ, his father had been actually quite high up in the Cambodian government before the Khmer Rouge. But then his family was executed, wiped out during the Khmer Rouge. He and one sibling were the only ones that survived. But as he befriended these Cambodian diplomats, in the early 2000s, the Prime Minister Hun Sen said, you know, we have to deal with a lot of Christian countries. We know nothing about Christianity. Who can we ask to be kind of an advisor to us about Christian matters? And so some of the diplomats that had been in New York said, we know this guy. You know, he's been really helpful. He's like a Cambodian Christian pastor in the United States. Maybe we could ask him to come be an advisor. And so he got this invitation to go be an advisor to the Cambodian government at the highest levels about Christian matters. This would have been in about 2002. And he said to them, well, I'm more like a missionary than, you know, a political person. He said, that's all right. We just want you to give your advice from the perspective of the Christians to help us understand better about such things. And so he decided to go, and he does not take a salary from the government. That keeps him independent. He's actually now serving under our team. He is working, this is actually his office, which is right next to the equivalent of the Cambodian White House, as he gives advice to the government in such matters. He has also been a part of our team, and he is works in what's called the Council of Ministers that advises the Prime Minister. His title now is actually His Excellency. God has given him favor. If you meet the guy, he's the most humble guy on the planet. And he just really has witnessed Christ to these very high levels of people. And he's actually a part of what in the Alliance we call Marketplace Ministries. So he's a part of our team through that. And so God raised him up to just this amazing place and position of giving counsel at the highest levels of the Cambodian government. And we told you about how the 100th anniversary, the government was so involved, and they put up this big monument, included, you know, a picture of a cross and an open Bible and a dove. A lot of that is because of the influence of Ernest at these highest levels. This is an ordained Alliance pastor who God has raised up for such time as this in Cambodia. In July 10, 2016, this man was a well-known broadcaster in Cambodia. He was known as a truth teller, and he would sometimes speak about the corruption in the Cambodian government. So, of course, the government was not excited about that. And this this man was actually executed on July 10, 2016, right in Phnom Penh. And everybody really knew who was behind this ultimately was the government that was not happy with him. And the opposition party at that time took his body and they put it in a Buddhist temple just outside of Phnom Penh. And the anger just kept building up and building up in the country. And then about 2 weeks after he died, that it was decided they'd have the big funeral. And the prime minister at the time said, well, for this funeral, people can ride in a car or a bus, but they cannot be on a motorcycle or on foot. And he was trying to control the crowds, right? Because not that many people have cars and buses or whatever. And so he was trying to limit the crowd that was growing in their anger and frustration because this man had been executed. And on the day of the funeral, when it came, there were 2 million people that came out. This is the main road in Phnom Penh, and almost all of them were on foot, or they were on their motorcycles. And when the prime minister saw this, he became so angry at this clear defiance to his authority and power that he said to his military, bring out the tanks. We need to put this demonstration against my power and authority. We need to put this down with force now. And our brother Ernest was in the room with the prime minister as he's making this decision. And with some of the other advisors, Ernest said to him, Mr. Prime Minister, would you please reconsider your decision? Please allow them to mourn in peace on this day. Please do not call out the tanks. And the prime minister thankfully relented from his decision. Boy, it's important to have light in the midst of darkness. And we're really thankful that Ernest is there, bringing a message of Jesus, bringing a message of wisdom and grace and peace to the very highest levels of the Cambodian government. I mentioned briefly this morning the next prime minister is actually the son of the current prime minister. His name is Hun Manet. Hun Manet, when he actually studied at West Point Military Academy in New York 25 years ago. And when he was there, he got to know Ernest Ung as well when he was pastoring in that Alliance Church. And they got to actually become friends and relations and knew each other well through that time. And as Ernest came to serve with the Cambodian government, that friendship and relationship has continued. And that this man, Hun Manet, has been designated to be the next prime minister in Cambodia. And guess who's been asked to be one of his advisors? Our brother Ernest, this ordained Alliance pastor, speaking to the highest levels of Cambodian government and society. Last story. COVID, of course, was an impact in the world. We really thought Cambodia was going to be ground zero. Because just before China shut down their country in 2020 from COVID, there were literally hundreds of people a day flying directly from Wuhan to come to Cambodia to escape the lockdown. And Cambodian medical system is quite poor, and so there was a sense that Cambodia is going to be ground zero for COVID. And it's going to be really bad, and the medical system is not good. They didn't even have a ventilator in the country. In the entire country in 2020. And so in Cambodia, the mission community, and I'm not pointing any fingers, but the mission community, about 50% of the missionaries who were in Cambodia left Cambodia over the next 2 months in early 2020 because of these concerns. And I just want to say that for our entire CMA team, not a single person left Cambodia. We all decided to stay. And it wasn't a forced thing, but it was everyone saying, no, God has called us here, we need to stay here and serve here. And it was quite an amazing season. As most of the world was shut down and shutting down, COVID was remarkably light in Cambodia. And we actually had very significant freedom to continue the work. And so the work continued, and And actually, people began coming to Christ in even increasing numbers during the season of COVID. As people came to Christ, we had discipleship groups that were going and happening in many parts. And we're so thankful our folks were able to stay in Cambodia for this unique season of harvest. And from March 2020 to June 2021, in that season, it was kind of the heart of COVID. And COVID eventually did hit hard in Cambodia, but it wasn't until about May of 2021 that it began to hit Cambodia hard. But we had a year there where we really had amazing freedom and amazing openness. And in that season, in area of Poi Pet, there were three churches that were planted. And in the far eastern part of the Cambodia, amongst the Bunong people we heard about this morning, there were seven churches that were planted. And in a place called An Long Vang, that you've probably never heard of, but An Long Vang is infamous in Cambodia because it was the final holdout of the Khmer Rouge. And we have an Alliance Missionary family serving in that place, Suat and Sinalau. And in that place, it was the place where Pol Pot actually died and is buried to this day. In An Long Vang, there were 11 churches planted in this season. 21 churches planted in the time when the world was shut down. Alliance Life talked about harvest time in Cambodia, church planting in lockdown. What a privilege it was for us to be there for such a time as this. And I share this story to just say to you as the village church, thank you not only for sending us, but for helping us to stay. And that's part of what you are doing as senders. You're not just sending us, you're helping us to stay in Cambodia. So to the glory of God, we say, look at the nations, look at Cambodia and watch. And be utterly amazed, for he is doing something in our days. Even for me, I say, Lord, wow. Hard to believe. Amen. Praise to God. Amen.